Welcome to Your Turn, Mike Causey, and we're glad to have you here with us, as we are every Wednesday at 10 a.m. We're right in smack dab in the middle of open season. This is a subject that's kind of like pulling teeth or visiting the dentist. It's painful for many people, but it's necessary. And the vast majority of people during the open season do nothing. Inertia rules. I think 96% of the people who are offered a chance to change do not do so. And my guest today, our only guest on the show today, is Walton Francis. He's editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook, has been doing it for more than 30 years. And he literally wrote the book on federal health plans. And they now have a new improved version, an online service that many federal agencies subscribe to for their people, and it believe me, it's worthwhile. It's something like $9.95, the book and the service, if you have to buy it on your own. Walt, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. Glad to be here.
I know this is a very, very busy time of the year for you, so we appreciate your time. And I'm going to go right to some questions, and then I have a number of my own. But you have frequently said that people can, by shopping wisely, can save $1,000 to $2,000 a year, and that you mentioned that this year, because of the Self Plus One, you're going to have people looking at the Self Plus One, and while they're at it, while they're looking, they might consider changing plans as well. Why do you say that?
Well, that's what they should do.
Yeah.
Okay, now, because to go to Self Plus One, you actually have to go online and change your fill out the boxes on a form 2809, okay, and change the option you're in. But if you're going to change the option you're in anyway, why not think about being a little friskier and taking a look at, well, if I'm going to be in Self Plus One in the plan I'm in, what about Self Plus One in this other plan that's a lot less expensive?
Yeah, I mean, I guess many of us, and I plead guilty to this, are just afraid to change. The one we've got, you may not be entirely in love with it, but on the other hand, there, you know, there it is. They're afraid to change. Blue Cross Blue Shield, I think, is a good example that the majority of federal workers and retirees certainly are in Blue Cross. Is that correct?
Well, there's the two plans. Blue Cross Standard. I think Blue Cross Standard is no longer a majority of all enrollees, but it's close to it. And it's certainly, I think, got the majority of retirees.
Right. Well, and is that a good place to start? Maybe if you're in Blue Cross Standard, have been since, you know, since forever, and then somebody says, why don't you look at the basic plan? And you think, well, basic, it's cost so much less, it can't be as good.
Yeah, and that's a terrible flaw. Blue Cross Basic is a great plan, okay? It's just as good in benefit coverage as Blue Cross Standard in network. It doesn't let you go out of network. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
To some people, that matters. But if you're willing and in fact do in the real world use doctors who participate with Blue Cross, then why aren't you in Basic is the question.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, people have been migrating to Blue Cross Basic. It's gotten several hundred thousand new enrollees over the last couple of years. And by the way, not just from Blue Cross Standard, but from other plans. Basic is gaining share at the expense of all the plans in the FEHPP because it's a superior product. And I also don't want to just pick on Blue Cross Standard. There's a half dozen expensive plans, GEHA High, okay, Samba High, and others. People shouldn't be in those plans because they have very high premiums. They're loaded with high cost retirees, and why not join a plan that's got some of the younger, healthier, and less costly people in it, with benefits that are just as good, if not better.
Speaking of things like that, the self only plan. First time this option is there, people have been pushing for it for 15 years. The government has said from time to time it won't make any difference, probably won't make much difference. You said it. I remember years ago you said, if we get it, it's probably not going to make much difference. Well, now we have it, and guess what? It doesn't make much difference. In some cases, I've got a letter here from a question from George C. He says that his plan, self plus one, will cost more than a family plan. Let me read this note here. It says, it's talking about the NALC, the National Association of Letter Carriers, and he said, the new plan is the same and sometimes higher than the self and family. I'm currently with NALC. So I called them and I asked why. I was told there's no baseline for the new plan, so this is the premium amount that was determined to be equitable. How could it be equitable when NALC self plus one is $10 more than the family plan? Does Mr. Francis have a better answer? Maybe not better, one he would like?
I can tell him why. Yeah. I mean, that's the best I could do. Uh-huh. There are three or four things going on simultaneously there. The most important one by far is that older people cost a lot more. On average, up around $12,000 for healthcare expenses for people in their 60s and 70s. Young children and young adults are in the $2,000 to $3,000 range. Okay, so a family of four, two young adults and two kids, in total, costs about the same as one older person. Okay, and if it's a family of two who are older, a couple, empty nesters,
yeah,
then they're going to cost twice as much as that family of four. Now, being in Medicare offsets a lot of that cost, but not enough to bring it down to the level of the young people. Plus, there are all those annuitants who aren't 65 yet, and they're very expensive too. So the population you're covering with Self Plus One, which is mainly empty nesters, some single parents with one kid, is an older and more costly population. That's the big driver. That said, there's another complication. There's a formula for computing your share of the premium in each plan. And because on average, Self Plus One's a little lower than Self Plus Family, the government share is lower.
Okay.
And if the government share is lower, then a plan that where the two are very close to being the same amount will actually wind up with more out of your pocket than the family plan for that carrier. And I'm sure that's the case with NALC.
Yeah.
The two in combination. There are some very unlucky plans that are so good that they have a disproportionate number of annuitants who never bothered to sign up for Medicare. Kaiser has a lot of those people, okay? Because they ask themselves, gosh, the plan covers everything. I've been in it all my life. I can't see any reason why I need Medicare. And they don't sign up for it, well, they're very expensive. And so all the Kaiser plans, they've equalized, but the Kaiser High options are actually a little higher for the Self Plus One premium than the family premium.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. But that said, I know you're still high on Self Plus One for some people because they can still save some money. Not as much as they thought, they anticipated maybe, but they can still save money.
Oh, yeah. In the great majority of plans, it's a saving, okay? Mm-hmm. And the saving usually is between $100 and $200 a year. So let's go back to Blue Cross as our example. Yeah. In Blue Cross Standard Option, the Self Plus One saving is about $190 a year, and in Blue Cross Basic, it's about $90 a year, okay? Well, think about switching to Self Plus One and giving yourself a Christmas present.
Yeah.
Have a couple of $100. Hey, it's a no-brainer. Everybody should do it. They won't all do it because some of them haven't got the word, and some of them are too lazy, and some of them are frightened of any change.
Many people are just fearful of changing it. But it's better than a proverbial a stick in the eye kind of thing. Here's one from Joe T. Says, if Mr. Francis is talking about the HD-HP plans, one has to look very closely and compare the scope of the coverage. One of the HD-HP plans I can enroll in, Aetna, GEHA, MHBP, all three have very limited coverage for chiropractic, acupuncture, and physical therapy. I'd have to pay out of pocket much more under these plans than what I currently pay under Blue Cross Blue Shield Basic and using a flexible spending account. What about that?
It's not really a high deductible plan issue.
Yeah.
Most plans, okay, no matter what kind of plan they are, whether they're in HMO or traditional PPO or at a high deductible or consumer driven, most plans have very limited benefits for chiropractic, acupuncture, and physical therapy. It's typically a visit limit. The plan will pay for 20 visits or maybe in some cases 30 or more. But that's it. When you've used up your visits, you hit that cliff and you have to pay the rest out of pocket. So if you need, that's a good example, I think, of if you need a particular service that's stronger in one plan than another, hey, as long as the plan you're migrating to is a reasonably priced plan, go for it. I mean, so this person's not a good candidate then for those particular plans he mentioned. That said, the great majority of us don't need a whole lot of chiropractic or acupuncture visits. So the constraint really isn't that important to us. And there you go for, hey, what's the best deal?
Okay, another question about the HD plans when we come back here on federalnewsradio.com, 1500 AM. Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here. I'm talking to Walton Francis. He's editor, longtime editor of the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans. And many federal agencies have subscribed to its online version. And be sure and check that out. Check with your HR people because it's a wonderful service. It also means, I guess, they're going to let you shop at work. And they have different types of coverage, but be sure and check that out. Well, before the break, we had a question from someone, and he was talking about the HD, which means high deductible, and the CD, consumer-driven plans, and he said they're not very good for things like chiropractic and acupuncture and things like that. And you pointed out none of the plans are very good with that, so don't let that hinder you. But you said something a couple of weeks back, and I used it in a column the following day about the HD plans being a Roth IRA on steroids. It got a lot of hits. That's a catchy phrase, and that really conjures up wonderful things. What is an HD plan and a CD plan?
Okay, these are just plans that have high deductibles, which is what HD stands for. Typically, around $1,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you get your free physical, but then the deductible kicks in, and then once you've spent that $1,000 out of pocket, regular health insurance kicks in, and they all have very good regular health insurance, but they also have a savings account feature, which is really important. Okay. And the HD plans have what's called a health savings account, an HSA. And the consumer-driven plans have, they call it various things, but it's a health reimbursement arrangement, HRA, technically, okay? And with these accounts, you can actually, if your healthcare expenses are low, use the personal care account or the health savings account to cover, let's say you have your annual physical and maybe, you know, four more doctor visits of $100 each. Well, pay the $400 out of the savings account. And then roll over, let's say there's $1,000 in it to be, you know, as the total annual amount, roll over $600 in, it carries over till next year. And then you get another $1,000 next year. So now you have a $1,600 kitty. And if you're lucky enough to have low healthcare expenses for 3 or 4 years, you will never have to pay for any healthcare copays or anything else out of pocket. The IRA on steroids part is that only in the high deductible plans with the health savings account. The health savings account is money you own. It is in a bank account in your name. Or I should say a savings account in your name. You can actually, it goes in tax-free. It's paid out of the premium, which the government pays most of, and that's all tax preferred. It grows over the years. You can invest it in stocks and bonds, okay, for decades. If you don't use it all up,
you're getting $2,000 a year or something like that.
Yeah. Right? Well, the amount varies with the plan. Mm-hmm. Okay. But yeah, it could grow, for family, it could grow a couple thousand a year. You can actually add money to it out of your own pocket, which reduces your taxable income.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come to that. Okay. And then when you, at some point, if you change plans, the HSA stays with you, that account.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an IRA, except it goes in tax-free, grows tax-free, and comes out tax-free if you spend it on health care. So for heaven's sakes, the question is, why isn't everybody in a health savings account, high deductible plan? And I think it's because a lot of people are afraid to change or don't want to think
deductible
about change.
Is a turn off, the sound of it. Yeah.
All these plans are very good insurance, and they all have either very low or low premiums.
Well, but to play the devil's advocate, who shouldn't have a high deductible plan?
A person who has known high continuing expenses. For example, if you're taking $2,000 a year retail cost in maintenance drugs for your condition, okay, maybe it's arthritis, maybe it's diabetes, whatever, then and you know you're going to have all those thousands of dollars out of pocket for drugs, then it's not sensible to be in a high deductible plan because you'll have to pay all that huge deductible. You'll use up your savings account and then go through the deductible. Better to stay in a plan that covers your drugs sort of almost dollar for dollar.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a drug-related question. Eric brought it in. He talked to Melanie in South Carolina, and she says, which is better, Blue Cross Basic or Blue Cross Standard when you have a lot of prescriptions? Now, with a lot of prescriptions, is there an answer to that? Which is better, period?
No, they're both in better. Well, they're basic has a much lower premium, so it's got a huge plus. It's got a minus, which is you can't get covered at all if you go out of network. And Blue Cross Standard, it'll pay roughly half in practice of your out-of-network costs. They both have very good benefits. The benefit design is different. It's a little bit different in practically every way. For example, basic has no deductible, but it has a little higher admission cost to you if you go in the hospital. You know, there's pluses and minuses, but in our analysis, where we look at the likely out-of-pocket costs under each plan to see which ones are better deals, those two come out both very good and basically tied. There are some differences in their prescription drug coverage. For example, Blue Cross, and here I'm glancing at Checkbook's guide, okay, because I don't memorize this stuff. For name brand drugs, Blue Cross Basic for a month's subscription charges you $50. Blue Cross Standard charges you 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the drug is a $100 drug, it's only $30. If it's a $200 drug, it's $60, and it's more than basic.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot depends on which drugs are you're taking. They both are basically all but free for generic drugs, like which is true in all these plans.
Yeah,
$10 or 10% or whatever, kind of nominal charges. So, they use the two Blue Cross plans use the same formulary, so it would depend entirely on what drugs you take. More generally, if you take very expensive drugs, you ought to shop around a little bit. Ask your pharmacy, which plans pay better for this $1,000 a month drug, and you may find that you're going to join Plan X you never heard of because it's got the best coverage for your drug.
You know, that's such a good common sense thing. Ask your pharmacist or preferred pharmacist, and by the same token, I know you've said this before, when you talk about network, go to your doctor, and he or she probably won't know, but somebody in their office will know what networks they're going to be in 2016, and be sure your favorite doctor or doctors is in the network, or at least the favorite one, the primary one, is in the network, correct?
Yeah, and actually for those who use our online guide, part of our tool is type in your doctor's names if you have a few doctors you want to keep, and we'll tell you which plans they're in. You still want to call the office and check because they may change come January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
But, but it's very convenient that way because you can right off the bat get the what is essentially the right answer. The other thing is you can always, on the drug example, but also doctor example, if you call the health plan that you're interested in or go onto their website, you can find their formulary for drugs and you can find their doctor network. So you could go, use Checkbook's guide. Online OPM is a good website for some of these things, but they don't do doctor names and they don't do drug specific stuff. But you can find the plan brochures there as you can on our website also, or you can get in touch with the plans, or you can get in touch with the providers directly, or maybe all three.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Now you explained the difference between an HD high deductible plan. The CD consumer driven is different somehow, right?
Yeah, it gives you an account like the other one, but the plan owns the account. It's not personally owned funds of yours. It carries over, okay, if you don't use it all. So in that respect, it's just the same. But it doesn't earn, and it's tax-free going in. You don't pay anything to set it up. But it doesn't earn interest, okay, or capital gains. It's not your money, and the plan doesn't set it up where you can make money with it. And if you change plans and have an unused balance, you lose it. It stays with the plan. Mm-hmm. So it's not as desirable, other things equal, as a health savings account. On the other hand, some of these personal savings accounts, these HRA accounts, are bigger than the HSAs. So, and there are a couple of plans in which they're just spectacular. APWU, consumer driven, is a plan that we say to people, hey, if you're not looking at that one, compared to whatever other plan you're in, you're probably making a mistake. It's that good.
All right. So, I mean, at first description, it sounds like the CDs were set up to make HDs look good, but they each have their moment, huh?
Right.
Okay, very good. Let's see here. I know you said from time to time that, and this is reassuring, that all of the health plans are good to excellent, you know, when you compare what's available in the private sector. So if you make the wrong choice, you're probably still in a very good health plan. But the problem for so many people is that they're paying too much for what they get. Is that right?
Yeah, they're paying. The premiums are all over the lot. Remember, we talked earlier about how old people are more expensive. Well, guess what? Some of these plans have more older people than others, okay? And that's the main driver of differences in premium costs. But the other thing people don't always look for or understand is that if you need a particular benefit, the plans are all good on their benefits, but they vary. Okay, we had an earlier example with pointing out that chiropractic and acupuncture are not good in most plans, but they're good in some. Okay, so if you need one of those services, or if you need hearing aids, I mean, there's just an endless list of things. Maternity care. Better in some plans than in others. So if you don't do a little homework during open season, at the very least, open the brochure of the plan you're in and check to see how its benefits change. There's a section that tells you that. The problem is the benefits might have changed last year when you didn't open the brochure, and you may be cruising for bruising if the thing you're going to need next year isn't covered as well in that plan as it is in some others. So
when we first started doing this, there was a distinct difference between an HMO, a health maintenance organization, and the fee-for-service plans. But it looks as if they've kind of hybridized in some ways, and they're more similar. But the HMOs, I think a lot of people don't even consider those. They look at a fee for, they want Blue Cross or GEHA or something like that. But the HMOs are definitely worth looking at, aren't they?
Absolutely. Every plan now uses a preferred provider network, okay? So they're all going to limit your choice of doctors to some degree, usually a considerable degree. That used to be the big rap against HMOs. HMOs have the advantage of there's minimal or no paperwork, okay?
Yeah.
And they often have better benefits in some of these areas.
And low deductibles.
They tend to have low or no deductibles. Mm-hmm. They tend to have better prescription drug coverage. But the differences are vanishing. And even to take the example of retirees with Medicare, this year the CareFirst plans in Maryland are adding a Medicare A and B wraparound. So the CareFirst standard option HMO and the CareFirst high deductible are great options.
Next question. Eric's giving me the evil eye here, so we need to take a short break. We'll be right back here on federalnewsradio.com.
I collect old pinball machines.
Me, running marathons.
Our interests make us unique, and we each have unique health needs as well. That's why Aetna provides health insurance plan options that meet the individual needs of federal employees. At AetnaFeds.com, you'll find plans with lower premiums, lower out-of-pocket costs, and large national provider networks backing them. Go to AetnaFeds.com. Get the health plan that gets you.
Health benefits and health insurance plans are offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Plans contain exclusions and limitations.
How do you realize the promise of big data? What does it take to create a balanced portfolio of information technology metrics? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and more with Dr. Kevin D'Souza, author of the IBM Center Reports on Big Data and IT Metrics, as part of its Conversations with Authors series. Tune in on Mondays at 11 a.m. for the Business of Government Hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
This month's Modern Mission Critical series focuses on law enforcement in the cloud, providing an integrated and secure solution. Law enforcement agencies are looking to move to the cloud in an effort to modernize their systems and processes in this budget-constrained environment. Tune in on December 3rd to hear about emerging delivery models for public safety solutions and trends towards securing government clouds. Tune in on Thursday, December 3rd at 12:30 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Sponsored by Unisys.
Here's retired Brigadier General Peter Haney, U.S. Air Force, President and CEO, SES Government Solutions, on the recent Trends in Satellite Acquisition, Augmenting Government SATCOM panel, sponsored by SES Government Solutions.
We're now at a bit of a tipping point where we are looking at where space has always been viewed as a safe haven, and we're now facing a challenge where space is no longer a safe haven, and it's going to force us to look at things differently and force us to go ahead and develop capabilities that support the U.S. government.
SES Government Solutions exists for one purpose, to meet the satellite communications needs of the U.S. government. With the largest satellite fleet in the world, SES's 55 satellites support the men and women of every branch of the military. In the current budget environment, more must be done to ensure our troops have access to critical communications, and SES is stepping up to the challenge. SES Government Solutions, bandwidth and beyond. Visit ses-gs.com. That's ses-gs.com to learn more. The National Contract Management Association's 34th Annual Government Contract Management Symposium is December 14th and 15th in Washington, D.C. This two-day training event features interactive learning, regulatory updates from leaders in the contracting profession, and vast networking opportunities. Visit the event page and register today at ncmahq.org/gcms2015. ncmahq.org/gcms2015.
Experience the difference of federalnewsradio.com. Executive Editor Jason Miller.
The White House is planning new targets for closing federal data centers. Federal Chief Information Officer Tony Scott tells me a new memo is coming this winter. Scott says the policy will better define what a data center is. It also will set specific goals for agencies and government-wide for reducing and optimizing existing data centers. For more, search Miller.
Experience the difference. Jason Miller on federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here. I'm talking with Walton Francis. He is the editor, longtime editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans. And believe me, you should not leave home without it if you're a federal worker or a retiree. Get the book. CVS has it. I've seen it in Rite Aid and other places. You can still order it, and we'll have that on our website. And Walt says the best deal of all is to check out and see if your agency has subscribed to their service for you, their online version, which does everything but, you know, scratch your back. You know, it tells you everything you need to know, and you can totally personalize your hunt. So that's excellent. Well, you wanted to get into this question here. This is from Bill M. I have a question I think Walter Francis can answer. However, well, he can't listen to the show, but he says, I'm planning on retiring in the next couple of years, and I'm currently in a high deductible health plan. In the year in which I retire, if I plan on working only part of the year, can I still contribute the full amount to the health savings account as well as to a Fed VIP plan? And that's IR, dental or something. In other words, if retiring at the end of March, could I front load the deductions from my paycheck so that I reach the annual cap for both by end March and then continue to use the funds during the remainder of the calendar year while I'm retired? Also, if one is retired but not yet receiving Medicare A or B, can one still contribute to an HSA? I'm so glad you're here. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, okay. What he's referring to basically is that in these high deductible plans with a health savings account, you can actually earmark some of your paycheck to augment that health savings account beyond what the plan puts in it and the government puts in it every year. And if you're nearing retirement age, I forget the age cutoff, I think it's over age 50 or something like that, you can do what are called catch-up contributions that are even more than most people can put in. So you can just really load up on that IRA on steroids, as I call it. But he's under a misconception. He thinks he thinks retirement has something to do with this. No, it doesn't. You can retire and stay in your high deductible plan. You don't have to. Yes, you can put money in your account to answer a specific question early in the year. You don't have to, you know, but you're not going to fall over a cliff the day you retire. You're still in that plan. It's the contributions to the account can still be made. So don't worry about that. In fact, and this is really the key point, whether you're employed or retired, as long as you don't have other health insurance coverage, you can stay in your high deductible plan. In fact, you can always stay in it, but you can keep contributing to that health savings account. And the trick here is not to sign up for Medicare Part A any sooner than you need to, because Medicare Part A, or Part B for that matter, counts as other health insurance. So for those even over past age 65, if you can put off a little bit signing up for Medicare, you could keep, you know, loading money into your health savings account. And certainly up until age 65, it's no problem whether you're retired or not. So if you're a 30-year Fed retiring at age 55 or 56, whatever, in that, you know, you got another 10 years to go before you, you know, can't add money. So some people get up into the tens of thousands in these health savings accounts. So not to worry.
And it's their money.
It's your money.
Wow. That's a good deal. Good time to mention, we're having right immediately after this show, we're going to run across the hall, sit down at our computers, and get into a web chat. And a number of people have signed up for it. And this will be, when we say chat, that means they will send you questions, and you, and to some extent, I will try to answer them. You will answer them. But you can still sign up if you go on our homepage, and we'll be getting to some of these questions. Well, over the years, it's interesting that some of the plans have disappeared. I remember at the beginning, there was something called BASE, which was limited to congressional mm-hmm. employees, and it faded away for whatever reason. You hear various things. And at one point, there were plans like SAMBA, which, not the dance, but Special Agents Mutual Benefit, and it was limited to FBI, DEA, and that kind of thing. Foreign Service plan was limited to the Foreign Service. Now those plans, as I understand it, have broadened, so they can take anybody. I have a couple of friends who were DEA agents. One of them was in Chicago a few years ago. He had what he thought was a heart attack. He didn't, but they put him in the ambulance, and he showed them his card. And when he showed them it was SAMBA, Special Agents Mutual Benefit, he said he got gold-plated treatment from these EMTs and the cops and whatnot. So it's open to everybody now, and I noticed looking at your guidebook, the SAMBA High option is the most expensive plan in terms of premium, or second most expensive plan in terms of premiums, and yet its standard option is right in there in the middle. What's the deal on that?
Well, it's one of the SAMBA High options, one of those plans that has a lot of elderly people who cost more, and a disproportionate number of them probably don't have Medicare. Or at least not Medicare Part B. So we don't recommend SAMBA High option. It's not an economic choice. That said, the SAMBA Standard option is one of the, you know, is a very good plan. Okay, it's a very good alternative to Blue Cross, for example, much less pricey than Blue Cross Standard, and a good alternative to compare to Blue Cross Basic. So, and it's open, as you say, it's open to everybody. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be anymore an FBI agent. Some of the other plans still have some restrictions. For example, Foreign Service, you don't still have to be in the Foreign Service.
But in the foreign but
if
business.
You're in the foreign affairs community, yeah. Okay?
That could be agriculture.
It could be agriculture.
Homeland Security.
DOD.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's broadened its, and Foreign Service is another very good plan, okay? They only have one option, and it's hard to beat among these national PPO fee-for-service plans. So there are plenty of options, okay? And people who don't look at them or who think they're not eligible to join are making a mistake.
Somebody, so you mentioned, one of our letter writers mentioned the Medicare wraparound. What is that? It sounds like something you get at CVS.
The wraparound deal is as follows. Many of the plans, and I'll come back in a minute to how many, say if you have Medicare Parts A and they are primary, which mm-hmm. only happens after you've retired, we will augment your regular benefits in our plan, and instead of paying $30 a visit, you know, for doctors and $500 for hospital admission or whatever the plan, we will pay your hospital and doctor bills 100%. You will pay zero, okay, mm-hmm. if you have Medicare Parts A and B primary. And this has been a mainstay of the program for decades, okay, and all the national plans have, virtually without exception, had this arrangement, okay, offered to you, whether in the high option or the standard option or both, and most still do, okay? But HMOs traditionally didn't offer this option. What OPM did this year, and it's to everybody's benefit, because the more of those geezers you get into mm-hmm. Medicare coverage, where Medicare pays first, you lower premiums for everybody, okay? It helps the whole program. They went to all the plans and said, why don't more of you set up a Medicare coordination arrangement of this wraparound kind? It's sometimes called a waiver. Okay. And quite a few plans accepted. Okay. And so now we have the Care First plans, as I mentioned, in Maryland and available in the metro area, all have Medicare wraparound, and that's new. Okay. Aetna Direct, which has been in our ratings the best thing, you know, at the top of our rankings for low costs for people with Medicare. It was a new plan in the program a couple of years ago. It came in with Medicare wraparound, and it still got it. A couple of the other high deductible consumer-driven plans have added it. Mail handlers, what used to be called mail handlers, now called MHBP, mm-hmm. has it in its high deductible plan. NALC has it, okay, and it's a high deductible. So you now have a range of choices, HMOs, high deductible and consumer-driven, and traditional plans that give you, if you're, you know, retired with A and B, give you this option of paying nothing for hospital and doctor expenses. And this is really wonderful in those high deductible plans that have it, because the high deductible goes away.
Okay,
so you get the personal savings account, or, you know, without having to suffer the $1,000 deductible. So, not all plans have it. Not all high deductible plans have it. But it's one of our rating features, and we find that the plans that have it, that are newly adding it, are often the most spectacular buys.
And so that doesn't mean that the older people, the heavy users, their costs change, but they shift. And Medicare becomes the primary payer.
Right.
And then the federal health carrier is secondary.
Yeah. And this is a bonus enticement to get people to sign up for Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you wind up paying two premiums instead of one. I mean, it's not a slam dunk decision, but at least it makes it, you know, a reasonable decision. Okay, to sign up for Medicare Parts A and B, and they have other benefits. But the point is, you get this dollar saving, which will offset much, not most, but much of the premium cost, the extra premium cost.
A phrase I've never heard any human being I've ever met utter, and that is, I love my health plan's dental benefit. I've worked several places. Everybody complains about the dental benefit. People in government think they have the worst deal. Not so, I know. But what's the deal with dental benefits, and why aren't they better?
Well, many of the health plans have some dental benefits, okay? And there's also these newer standalone dental plans, which we'll come to in a second. OPM has discouraged health plans from offering dental coverage for many years.
Can I interrupt you? We got a break coming up. But hold that thought. We'll be right back here on federalnewsradio.com. Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here talking with Walton Francis, and we're in the last 6.5 minutes of the show. And while we were talking, I interrupted you for a commercial about the dental benefits.
Yeah, so OPM discourages health plans from offering dental coverage, but many have had it historically.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, in the D.C. area, the MDIPA plan, which by the way has a spectacularly lower Self Plus One premium this year than previously, offers a very good dental benefit, and many of the others will pay at least for your annual checkup and teeth cleaning, periodontal cleaning, and so on. But they're also now, and have been for some years, these standalone dental plans, of which there's counting high and standard options, there's about a dozen possibilities open to them.
They're also open during this open season.
Yeah, and they're on the same open season as your health plan. You sign up at a different website, but it's all easy to find the website. They're called Benefeds. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you got heavy dental needs, okay, expecting a crown or a bridge or an implant, which next year for you or your spouse or even a kid, wisdom tooth removed or something like that, or orthodontic for smaller children, orthodontic covered in many but not all these plans. Mm-hmm. Those other things I just mentioned are covered either in all of them or almost all of them. Sign up for one of these. And if you're an employee, the premium is tax preferred.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's nominally, maybe let's say it's $500 a year, but
your tax break.
After the tax break, you're only paying $350, okay, in real dollars. Annuitants don't get the tax break, but of course, if you're going to have a $5,000 a mouthful of problems.
What you can get.
And you got to pay $1,000 premium or $500 premium to at least cut the cost in half. Why not?
Yeah.
But very important, your dentist should be in the network. Yep. Okay. So don't join MetLife or GEHA or Aetna or Blue Cross FEP. They're all, many of the health plans offer dental plans, but there's, but there's some, for example, Delta has a dental plan that, and they don't have a health plan. But check to see if your dentist is in the network, okay? Because a large part of the savings comes from the network discount that the dentists accept because they get more customers by being in the plan.
Good. Reminder that right after this show, again, we're going to scurry across the hall, sit down at our computers, and engage in a web chat, which will people will send in questions, and you will definitely know the answer, and I will... I will hover about and try to be helpful. And we've got a couple minutes left here. Just kind of summarize, people are in the midst of the hunting season. It ends a week from next Monday. What should they be thinking about doing?
They should go to our website or the OPM website or their or the website of a couple of plans. They should plan on spending just an hour. You don't have to read the fine print details. Just think about, is there anything about my health or my family's health that's changing that's really important next year that I need to check on to make sure that I'm in a plan that covers it well? Am I in a plan that is a good bargain, okay, which is huge. We're talking, we started the show. The savings can for self-only enrollment are often $1,000 or more for most people, okay, who are not enrolled in the lower cost alternatives. And for families, it's often, most people can save $2,000 or more. Well, think about that.
Yeah.
That's like giving yourself a pay raise. I mean, that's a lot of money. It isn't chump change.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got only till December 14th. You've got to deal with setting up your flexible spending account, which only about 20% do and probably 90% should, okay? Because that's another way to tax shelter some, you know, money and effectively reduce the cost of health care. It also can finance visits to doctors who aren't in the network, as well as co-payments for those who are in the network. You're not bound necessarily by the plan network if you're willing to think a little bit out of the box. Find a plan that's a bargain and join it. You've got, you know, check the brochure, but you don't have to. You can look at the summary pages, okay? It's our website, checkbook, you know, guidetohealthplans.org is the website, or the OPM website, which is opm.gov/insure, okay? There's lots of information. It's easy to access. It's easy to compare. There's no excuse for not spending half an hour or an hour looking for the possibility of giving yourself a $2,000 a year pay raise.
And if you're one of those people that's been in the Blue Cross family, which is excellent since the Lincoln administration, and you've been in the higher option, the standard, take a look at the basic.
Take a look at the basic. It's kind of a no-brainer. Okay? If you're happy with Blue Cross, why not save yourself the premium difference is around $1,800?
Okay. And there's just so many tips in here in your guidebook. Is there such a thing as best plans?
I love that question.
Got to be the bottom question.
Every plan is a best plan for somebody. There's always some feature in a plan that's going to be especially important to you. So we can't, you know, only you can judge that. What we can say is there are a number of plans that are better buys than other plans for most people. And we show you how much you can save, and it's a lot.
And like that earlier questioner, he was talking about these plans were weak in acupuncture and chiropractic, and many are. And I guess you need to decide how often you're going to use those particular services when looking at a plan. Don't buy it, I'm guessing, strictly because it's got a good acupuncture benefit, unless you have it twice a day.
And by the way, there's a trick people can use. If you need some specialized care next year, whether it's maternity care, you're going to have an obstetrician or or acupuncture or chiropractor, ask the provider which plans pay best for your service.
Of course. Yeah, go to the doctor, go to the pharmacist about drug benefit.
Right.
Okay. Any final words of wisdom?
Please use the opportunity of the move to Self Plus One to review the bidding on your plan selection. There are such big savings out there. It's just a shame that people don't take more advantage of them.
Right, and I've heard some people are already worried about self plus one going up, but it's not going to go up next year. It's already set at what it is. So if you like the concept, don't worry about the future. Worry about next year. Correct.
Right, and you know, you got to check to make sure you're not in one of those few plans where the self plus one premium is higher than the family premium. But that's only a handful, and for almost everybody, it's a no-brainer to switch to self plus one. You have to do it before the end of open
season. No-brainer for us to get out of here. Thank you so much. Thanks, Eric, for working the boards. We're going to now go to our web chat. We'll see you here next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Have a good week.